Hey, this is Jordan Wilkins, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here today with Byron Lambert for the Week 10 waiver wire edition of the pod. Our apologies from last week for missing it. We had some travel and some family coming into town, and we just couldn't get our schedules lined up to get it done. And by the time we could, I figured you guys might have been watching all the proceedings from last Tuesday anyway. So our apologies for that. But we did, of course, have the cheat sheet up. We were answering all your questions over at RosterWatch.com. You can find all of our content over there, of course, as always. And just a quick reminder, guys, if you could give the podcast a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot to us. And it would mean a lot to the people who kind of are the ones who are in charge of how we allocate these resources. They're saying that we need to get a little bit more engagement through the likes and stuff like that on YouTube. And also really most importantly, the ratings and reviews in Apple Podcasts. So if you could get that done for us, we would really, really appreciate it. All right, Byron, what the hell's going on, brother?
Oh man, just trying to stay out of the way of this Hurricane Eta or Eta. That's Eta. Just taking the most circuitous path anybody's ever seen of.
I saw that, man. Just like I know that people want the football takes, but you're there in Florida. Like that's the weirdest looking. It looks like it comes down, it comes up over Cuba, it comes back down like it's going to head back down towards Mexico. Then it takes a U-turn back up towards the Florida Sun Coast, huh? So it looks like it's, or maybe it's going to shift even more back towards Alabama and Mississippi.
Yeah, those poor folks up there in the Panhandle in the Mobile area, man, they're in a bad spot up there where they take the brunt a lot of these storms. So it looks like that's where it's headed. And, you know, obviously that thing will spawn off a bunch of rain and bands of wind that'll hit the rest of us here and there. But
it's cost of doing
it. Looks like it's probably going to the Panhandle, but who knows, man? I mean, this is the thing. After seeing the way this one's moved around, I can understand why it's hard to be in the business of predicting what these storms are going to do.
Man, at least it's not going to hit those people in southeastern Louisiana again. You know, like just those are the poor folks that can't afford one. It's been a while since the Mobile Bay's been hit. Man, they've taken two direct hits.
Mobile Bay got something earlier this year, didn't they? I'm almost sure they got a bad
Southeastern Louisiana took the hit from Zeta, and then they took the hit from. What was the other
one? Mobile had like 100 mile an hour winds. Remember those pictures from the park by Spotted T? I was texting to you and Kelly, that whole place was torn up, dude. They got blown out this year already once.
People are already asking us sit start questions. Guys, we don't even have I just now made the matchup tool. We haven't run our models, we haven't done anything, but I'd imagine that Robert Woods versus the Seahawks is where I would go there. Christian Kirk versus Robert Woods. This is the Waiver Wire podcast. If you have questions about which players you might want to drop to pick up some of these other players, or whether players, you know, are droppable in your league to make moves on the waiver wire, please load those up in the YouTube chat. And I have some that I've written down myself as well, and we'll get to those at the very end. Let's just start out, Byron. Like you said, man, we might get through this pod a little quicker than usual this week. I'm not sure it's the best looking. It's through no fault of your own. You can only work with what you have to work with. Before we talk about the running backs, though, let me just say Christian McCaffrey looks like he's going to be out for maybe another week. And it didn't happen in any of my leagues, but I did see some people in the industry tweeting that Mike Davis was dropped in like, you know, 25 to 30% of leagues once Christian McCaffrey got back. If that happened in your league, by all means, you know, Mike Davis is by far the top pickup and a guy that you would want to get in and roll with immediately. So I would put that caveat in there. He wouldn't have showed up in Byron's player pool because these are all players that are less than 40% or so owned or something, 50% owned.
Yeah, we bumped it up a little bit this year. So guys that are, you know, usually less than 60% try to cast a little bit bigger net this year.
Okay. Well, Mike Davis falls just out of that parameter. If he's available, that's who you want to go pick. You would agree that you would want him over any of these dirt balls, right?
Yeah. I'm surprised that I guess folks maybe had to drop him last week, but surprised that people didn't kind of see that one out.
Well, all right. So at the very top here, you have, and you can, why don't you just, you can look and see where Byron has where he's going to put the free agent bids and stuff like that, how much he would bid on each of these guys by going to rosterwatch.com, downloading the waiver wire cheat sheet. But Byron, like towards the top here, is definitely Duke Johnson. He came in whenever David Johnson was set up for really, really big action last week versus Jacksonville. And when he did, he played 81% of snaps. He had 4 targets. He had 20 touches, 73 yards, and a touchdown. Looked actually really good. Maybe even looked more effective than even David Johnson has. Is this a one week pickup? Because David Johnson could be back. I mean, he's in the concussion protocol, and Houston does get Cleveland this week, which kind of funnels more to the passing game. With that being said, we did see the 4 targets out of Duke this week.
Yeah, it remains to be seen if it's even a 1 week play at all. I mean, it could be a situation where David Johnson gets cleared and this doesn't turn out to be much, but at this point of the week, he's a guy that's got a pretty clear path to what would be that's been a nice role for fantasy running back. Even David Johnson hadn't really been that good, but he's really plugged away quite nicely as an RB2. And I don't really see any reason why Duke Johnson in a one game scenario wouldn't be able to fill right in for that. So I think you're picking him up on the hedge that does happen. I think there's a pretty good chance that Duke Johnson will have a clear path this week. But also I would say if you're a David Johnson owner, you're going to have to go, you're going to have to think about going pretty hard after Duke Johnson if you haven't already had him handcuffed. So I think that kind of just drives him to the top of the heap this week.
I didn't even think about the stuff with Duke Johnson Cleveland revenge.
I'm done with these damn revenge games, man.
Why, man? Some of these guys are vengeful guys. You can't forget about them if it's DeSean Jackson. Maybe you can forget about him for some of the others. Jordan Wilkins, what do you think? What is going on with Jonathan Taylor? We have people asking if they can drop this guy.
Well, the Colts are about to enter an amazing stretch for fantasy running backs from week 10 through, I think it's through week 15. There's an awesome stretch here that's going to take us, through like the most important part of the regular season here down the stretch and then on into the playoffs. So if it's even possible to get a beat on one of those dudes, I think they're going to pay off. I think the nightmare situation is that maybe it's just, a total split time. It'll be difficult, to know what to expect. It was 34% snap count, 13 touches for Wilkins this last week, 31% snap count, and 8 touches for Jonathan Taylor this last week. So it's probably pretty difficult to tell, but Jordan Wilkins is in these matchups is probably a flex at this point. And if he is going to continue to emerge over Taylor, there's some upside from there through this stretch. So, I mean, not a guaranteed dude. We're not recommending a ton of budget spent on him, but there's kind of a whole group of running backs right there on the sheet this week, Alex, or guys that they're not guarantees that they're stepping into, they're really filling the entire roles in the situations that they're expected to fill into right now. And also it's unclear how much longer any of these guys are going to have viability as the lead guy over the next few weeks. But, if you can't get Wilkins, there's a couple other ones on there that I think would fill in just as well. So you don't want to go crazy on any of these guys. And I'm talking about players like Wayne Gallman, who has been clearly the lead guy with the Giants, but it sounds like Freeman could be back. And even in that case, I still think Gallman's probably looking like the best player there. But, I mean, that's clearly potentially a potentially viable for one more week, but also could be pretty quickly devolving into, you know, a low floor flex play. So I kind of put that in the same bucket. DJ Dallas, I mean, how far are we from Chris Carson returning? It was Alex Collins and Travis Homer all got touches last week. Nobody got a lot of touches. I think it was Dallas that got the, I think it was a touchdown. He was still kind of able to lead the backfield, but it was a very weak, you know, lead in the backfield. And how much longer we could trust it, I'm not sure. I think these are kind of guys that you're just hoping to squeak one more week out of them here. And if you get anything else, it's a bonus. And also Gus Edwards for me sits atop that list. He's been not amazing the last few weeks, but he's been serviceable. And if Mark Ingram misses any more time, I feel really confident in plugging Gus Edwards in, Alex.
I have zero interest in DJ Dallas now that we have word that Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde are both back. That guy has not looked good in either of the games that he's had the opportunity, even though he's gotten there with the touchdowns. I'm convinced that he's not a very good player. As I look down the list, Jesus, man, Kalen Ballage, there's no way it could be just getting away from Gase, right? I know he didn't play under Gase in 2019, whenever he was still with Miami, but he was drafted by Gase. The Gase influence and fingerprints were all over him during his time as a Dolphin. He was under Gase in the New York Jets. Is there any way that Kalen Ballage in a new situation has been reborn and maybe looks the way that he looked good during his week of Senior Bowl practices, and he looked good whenever he was given the opportunity last week for the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, he played 39% of snaps. He had 17. He was targeted three times. He had 17 total touches for 84 yards and a touchdown. There's no way that we can trust Kalen Ballage, right? But I mean, are you even gonna pick him up? I feel like I have a hard time even picking up Kalen Ballage just because of the history.
Probably not. But if Justin Jackson misses time with a knee injury, I mean, it looks like, based on what we saw, he's probably the guy that you'd want to give a shot to. I thought he looked good too, but more than anything, I thought he looked interested, which is new for Kalen Ballage. He's looked like a disinterested, unmotivated football player that doesn't even care the last few years. So, you know,
he has a shitty work ethic and stuff, but maybe it's just like he's lost his job now and like –
in a new place. Anthony Lynn's kind of a player's guy and a running back's guy. So I don't know. I'm not putting too much stock in it. A lot of these dudes can flash for a week and then go the way of the dodo bird pretty quickly after that. But based on the situation, based on what we saw, if you're having to go down to that portion of the waiver wire sheet, I think he's a pretty obvious candidate this week to take a look at.
I'm looking down here. The only other one that really stands out to me, and I mean, I was telling you that I think he should be up higher. Maybe we could just have the caveat here on the podcast. If you're in a PPR league, you should definitely be looking at JD McKissic. And I think that Washington's completely screwed. I think that Alex Smith he doesn't look like it's a great story, right? But he's not an NFL quarterback anymore. He's absolutely miserably bad. And all he wants to do is dump the football off to JD McKissic. I don't have the – here, I'll go to the snap counts, targets, and touches. Let me just look and see. I mean, he had 14 targets last week. He played 83% of snaps. Whenever that gives you such a floor in PPR to where you could almost consider him like a running back too, and he's widely, widely, widely available. If they're going to keep playing Alex Smith, they're not going to be elite. They're not going to be ahead with the lead at all. This dude's going to keep dumping it off the way he always has, and that does even more now. So JD McKissic, to me, if I was in a PPR league, and even in half point PPR, I'm excited about trying to get him if I can. I went and looked earlier. I went and actually looked last night when I was just going over these numbers to see if he was available, and he's not available in any of my main two home leagues that I play in with the most play in for the most pride. With guys like Byron.
Well, that's because we've been chasing McKissic on the waiver wire all year. I mean, it's nothing new. I think it stands to reason that this is a new situation that probably, you know,
it favors him.
Favors him. I certainly get all that. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know how much touchdown equity he has, but I don't know how that the Washington football team is going to be scoring a whole lot of touchdowns. So that may be neither here nor there.
Yeah. What about, do you want to just, you want to talk about wide receivers? It looks like your big priority this week, sort of. It would be my big priority too, but it's Jalen Reagor. I can't believe that he's still hanging out there in a bunch of these leagues. I'm, you know, with as excited as everybody was about Jalen Reagor, man, like you figured most leagues, people would have picked him up in anticipation of, you know, getting this guy back and getting him really, really involved.
Yeah. But the bye week, I think, threw a wrench in that and kind of did us all a favor. He's pretty available. Not in our leagues, but in a lot of leagues out there, Rager's available, and he looked awesome. The main thing is I thought he looked awesome, and they were focused on getting him the ball. I think it's the Travis Fulgham, Jalen Reagor show at this point. And overall, I believe that offense has heated up some, and we're going to get Miles Sanders back. Could argue he might take some targets away from everybody, but I think you could also argue he's just going to make the offense better, which ultimately be better for everybody. So Jalen Reagor needs to be owned, and I have a pretty strong feeling he's going to be a guy you can feel confident about starting in your flex most weeks the rest of the way.
We have some questions in the chat from people. How about this? We'll answer all these questions that don't relate to waivers as soon as the show is over. We'll get to these questions for you guys about Josh Reynolds and what this guy, Andrew Martirano, like he wants to know what moves we would make this team. Of course, we always recommend you guys listen to the Tradecast and those kinds of podcasts, you know, asking questions over at the site and stuff where we're a little bit more attuned to them. And also if you're wondering about players that you want to drop this week, you can get those players in. And we will ask about them here at the very end after we answer the questions. I was looking on the sheet, Byron, and as I look down here at some of these players, Sterling Shepard really jumps out to me. And it only really dawned on me the last few weeks just how consistent he's been. Over the course of the last 2 years in games when he's healthy, he's only seen less than 6 targets 5 times. And of those 5 times, 4 of those games – were 5 target games. He had 1 2 target game earlier this year in the game he got hurt. His target volume is just so, I mean, he gets a grip of targets every single week. He's a good player. He's a good route runner. I was able to pick him up off the waiver wire earlier this year when I was facing a bunch of injuries in my wide receivers. And I've been putting him in every week these last few weeks, and he's been just fine.
Yeah, he's been a really solid waiver pickup for us the last few weeks. He really plugged along with consistency and has able to put up some nice scores too. He seems to have a good connection with Daniel Jones, and I think especially in any PPR formats, he's been just fine. I think you could argue for him to be a little higher on the sheet this week. The reason he's not is I think Golden Tate is coming back into the mix. But he lives in a group of wide receivers that I really love on waivers this week. Alex, all guys I think you can get for pretty cheap who are solid adds to your roster and could potentially be helpful players this week if you need a guy. I think Mooney in Chicago, it's a good matchup. I think, is that with the Vikings this week? Let's see. Yeah, Chicago versus Minnesota. It's not a huge game total, but I mean, Mooney clearly is getting high value targets from Nick Foles, and I kind of like him in this matchup.
The number two matchup on the roster watch matchup tool for opposing wide receivers is Minnesota.
Get a little bit goosey about Curtis Samuel just because of what's been going on with the receivers in Carolina this year, but dude, that guy's been going off, man. you have no other option but to at least consider it.
He's another guy I've been luck boxing it with in that same damn dynasty league, Byron. It's been amazing last few weeks. That's the thing. That's what the trash man always says, man. It's like sometimes some of these injuries or being a little bit thin, man, it kind of frees you up.
It's liberating, man.
It frees you up to make these plays you kind of want to make. You're like, man, can I really play this dude this week?
Think about these people that are like, I mean, this sounds crazy, but I mean, right now a lot of people feel stuck playing players like Zeke. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And it's a trap. And you know, you're walking into it, but you feel obligated to play those guys. And It's a problem. I mean, especially we do all this work. I mean, we've got all this intel. It's good to put it to use, of course. And then I thought there were a few other ones there. Jacoby Myers, you know me, I thought he was going to be the one that would pop a little bit when New England got the wide receiver injuries. He's looked pretty good. He got a lot of targets. Aguilar had the one bad week in the horrible monsoon in Cleveland, but that can be removed from the game log. Nobody did anything in that game. Aguilar's been good. The volume's not there, but he's been good for fantasy. It's another good matchup this week. I think if you can't get Mooney and Chicago in that matchup with Minnesota, there's no reason not to look at Miller, who's been getting a lot of targets himself lately. Again, he's got that same good matchup as Mooney. I think a couple of those Bears receivers will probably pop this week. So I think you've got to take a crack on Mooney or Miller. You're probably in decent shape. And then Ruggs simply hasn't delivered, but just based on upside and based on, you know, his wide availability on waivers, I do think Ruggs needs to be owned and stashed at this point. We'll see if you can ever roll him out with confidence, but that's not a guy you want floating around out there on your waiver wire if you can avoid it.
Hey, I have a question. Has Jacoby Myers, big brother, who is such a Twitter monitor of his scouting, come back on Twitter and dunked on us for our takes about not liking Jacoby Myers?
I'm not sure, but
he seems like the type that would want to come back and really dunk on you. But I haven't seen any of those tweets. Man. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's looked good.
He's looked good, but after last year, they still tried to shove him to the bottom of the depth chart this year. So you know how these things go, man.
Jacoby Myers. Overprotective big brother, you're more than welcome to come dunk on us for telling you that your brother wasn't going to be any good.
You know, the other guys I might point out for super cheap, you can look at, obviously a lot of people are looking at Alan Lazard, if he can come back and resume a pretty good role in what's a really hot Packers offense. Pitt, people are excited about the rookie Pittman in Indianapolis. But, you know, I was realizing today that, week 10 is about the time that folks were looking ahead to maybe Paris Campbell beginning to start coming off of IR.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I buried him down on the sheet a little bit. Just, you guys should at least – I didn't find any news on him today, but I think it's time to start keeping an ear to the ground on what's going on with Paris Campbell.
Yeah, for sure. I like that.
No, if David Montgomery misses with a concussion this week, I don't think it means anything guaranteed for Cordarrelle Patterson, but I think that could result in a little something extra. No Preston Williams in Miami. Could be a sneaky spot for Jakeem Grant, who really looks to have returned to all the speed he ever had before, even in that post. Like, he had that kind of bad – it wasn't a fully ruptured Achilles, but he had one of those injuries you're worried – maybe it was a patella. It's one of those injuries you're worried he might not ever come back quite the same.
He's fast. He's so fast. He's so fast.
He looks to have. And then, I'm not going to get too excited about Dez Bryant in Baltimore, but I think some people are going to – start to sniff around that, just to, maybe the allure of the unknown with that situation. And, I think that's mainly it. I think it's interesting to see that, Drew Lock is coming to life with the Broncos in terms of just they're throwing the ball with a lot of volume. And I think Hamler, I mean, we all know about Judy and Patrick, but it does look like maybe time to start keeping an eye on Hamler too in a really deep competitive league.
We see you guys in the chat, man. Garrett Woodsworth, Andrew Martirano, Samir Ahmad, Daniel, ISO only. Some of you, and we see your questions too. We'll get to all your questions just as soon as we get through this waiver portion, and before we get through the whether we keep these guys, whether we drop them. If you have questions about guys you might want to drop this week to get some new players off of waivers, you can put those in the chat. I've been writing them down as you guys have been sending them in. All right. What do you want to talk about? A quarterback, tight ends?
I think the tight ends are pretty awesome on the waivers this week. A lot of good options there. Gesicki, Graham. Jimmy Graham has really proven to be he's a decent fantasy tight end.
What leagues are these guys available in? I want to play in leagues where I can get Dallas Goedert or Gesicki.
Obviously, Goddard. Ebron has caught a little bit of fire lately, and we've got to see, I think, what happens with Big Ben right now, but he's been playable. Hooper looks like he's re-entering the picture.
Big Ben's fine. Ben's fine, so I wouldn't.
A lot of good options at tight end on waivers, and I actually think quarterbacks are pretty good. I went with Jared Goff at the top of the heap because he's got that matchup with the Seahawks this week that we've seen a lot of quarterbacks feast in. You know, obviously people are feeling much better about Tua this week than they did last week. I think he showed he can start to add a little bit on the ground too for fantasy purposes, something to look at. And then, you know, I think Bridgewater, Locke, and Foles are all players that are on a lot of waivers that you can look at with a relative confidence this week.
Matchup-based plays. And then if you are going to be looking – I mean, me personally, I've been sniffing around in my leagues just to see if Philadelphia was – if Philly was dropped last week because you know, the Philly, I believe they – do they have Dallas? Who do they have? Or do they have the Giants? Yeah,
they had a pretty big game.
I think it's the Giants. They got the Giants. So if they're available in your league, that's definitely one that I would go and look at. And the thing with that is depending on how your waiver system works, you might not even have to put them in on waivers. You could just pick them up in free agency tonight before the new waiver period starts, since they were on a bye week. And technically, their game never started this week to put them on to waivers. So that would be something to keep in mind as well. What do you think, man? You want to answer some of these questions, or do you want because we said we'll ask him. All right, this guy's saying Christian Kirk or Robert Woods this week. This is not going to – you guys asking start sit questions this early in the week is kind of worthless. But if when we're talking about Christian Kirk versus Buffalo, or we're talking about Robert Woods versus Seattle, I'm playing Robert Woods 10 times out of 10, I think. What moves would you make with this following team, Byron? This is probably more of a question for you. The quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, the running backs are Derrick Henry, James Conner. This looks like a good team to me. The wide receivers are Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown. The flex is Kareem Hunt, tight end Hunter Henry. Would you make significant moves with that team? I think I would just kind of keep rolling.
Pretty good team. You know, that's a team I think you're fine with Henry. If I could, I would start to look before my deadline to maybe try to pick up Mark Andrews. He's in the middle of tight end hell right now, and it doesn't really ease up too much. He's got one good matchup with Tennessee here on the horizon, but other than that, it's still – I think he's got Pittsburgh, and he's got another couple tough ones here coming up. But then he's got a good stretch for the fantasy playoffs, and I haven't just been blown away with Hunter Henry. So to me, if I could have Andrews on my team for a playoff run into the Henry – I'd probably like that. But otherwise, I think that dude has a pretty darn good team. Yeah. I mean, we saw even when Chubb comes back, I mean, Kareem Hunt was almost better.
I might like Kareem Hunt. I might like it better. And then the other thing, if somebody comes sniffing around Derrick Henry, just keep in mind that, like, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to go after Derrick Henry after this last game. I really, really want to get that big horse onto my teams here for the final stretch of the season. And I don't know if that's something you were planning on talking about in the trade cast, Byron, but he's certainly a trade target that I'm looking to see if I can buy low on this week. So I would not be getting rid of Derrick Henry or making moves. Samir Ahmad's asking if we like Josh Reynolds this week. I really don't. I don't. Do you? I mean,
I think like is a strong word, but. Yeah.
It's pretty tepid. It's pretty tepid.
I don't hate it. How about that? I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. A bunch of these guys can go off against the Seahawks. Okay, and ISO only asked.
They're hoping for the Gabriel Davis
right
breakout.
Would you trade Zeke for Kenyon Drake, Cooks, and DJ Moore? His other backs are Kareem, Eckler, and Justin Jackson. He doesn't have two. He only has one other healthy back.
I guess, man, I don't know. I mean, I would, in principle, I would like to make that deal. I guess you got to see what's going on with Justin Jackson. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. If you can't start two backs this week and you need two backs, then you can't really, well, you know what? Zeke is going on. They're on a bye this week.
They're on a bye.
Yeah. So I'd probably do it.
And Drake could be back.
I'd probably do it. Probably do it and just pick up a running back off of waivers to slide in if you got to start two running backs.
Okay, and finally here, if there's been some more questions come in. This one from Wally P. Doyle. Ridley, 16-team keeper, I can't keep again. Would you package him and someone else for Chubb and Kelsey? My starting running backs are Gibson and Moss. Yes.
You know what? And I want to go back on that last question. You know what? I think I would keep Zeke, actually, because we've got Zach Martin back and Andy Dalton is going to be back soon. So I still am down on Zeke, but the more I think about it, I think that's an improvement for him down the stretch.
Oh yeah. I mean, people, there was a question in the comments section last week of at Roster Watch. They were asking me if they should trade Zeke and Tony Pollard for Jonathan Taylor and Jordan Wilkins. And I said, well, I was like, I understand, man, this is so bad with this Ben DiNucci and Garrett Gilbert and stuff. But once we get Andy Dalton back, it's going to be back to a semblance of.
Yeah. And I thought Zach Martin back is helping the offensive line. Right. That much was clear to me. So I guess on that one, I think he was getting Drake, DJ Moore and Cooks. That one I would only do if I needed the wide receivers. Otherwise, I'd stay put and wait.
Yeah, Well, we hope he's still tuned in. He didn't go and just click accept on that trade.
Well, if he did, I don't think it's the worst.
What about the 16-team keeper league? I mean, don't you want to get Chubb and Kelsey and trade away Ridley in a package? He can't keep him again. His starting running backs are Antonio Gibson and Zach Moss. He needs Nick Chubb. This is the perfect time to get him back. Of course.
Yeah, and Kelsey is –
Yeah, what are we talking about? That's like, yes, you want those guys. Okay, and then 1QB league, PPR, redraft his record. This is KLS Talks. Oh, man, he is 1-8. Trade Henderson and Stafford for CEH and Landry and Matt Ryan. Yeah, sure, man. Give yourself a shot. You get two. You give yourself two players you can plug in. I mean, obviously, what's going on is not working.
I would do that. I would do that. And Matt Ryan's an upgrade over Stafford. And then Clyde is. I'd still rather have Clyde than Henderson. And you're getting Landry out of it too, who's a decent player at this point with no Odell. Yeah, I like that.
Samir Ahmad asks, would you trade Zeke for Diggs? So trade Zeke for Stephon Diggs. His other running backs are Miles Sanders, Antonio Gibson, Jerick McKinnon, Chase Edmonds. I don't know.
If I needed a wide receiver.
I want to know who your other wide receivers are.
Only if you need a wide receiver. If so, that's fine.
I'm not dying to go
out and make that. It just depends on if you need a wide receiver. Would you rather keep Zeke and send Gibson? The problem is he probably needs to play Gibson this week. So I'd rather send Gibson than Zeke if I could in that deal. But
maybe is there any way you could send Gibson and McKinnon for Diggs or something?
Yeah, that'd be the best thing to do.
All right, let's get to the drops or the keeps for the people, and then we'll get out of here.
Right, let's hustle here.
Le'Veon Bell.
Drop if you have to, but I'd try to keep.
I'd try to keep. I wouldn't get too crazy right now about dropping Le'Veon Bell. Devontae Freeman.
I think you can drop him.
Mark Ingram.
Drop. Alex has been saying it for months.
Travis Homer, drop. I need to ask you that. Jonathan Taylor, I hate to even ask. Somebody asked in the comments at Roster.
I don't think so. No, I like his schedule. And truthfully, he still got the same snap count as Wilkins last week. So let's just watch that one for a couple weeks.
A.J. Dillon is a drop. What about Henry Ruggs?
I mean, I wouldn't drop him unless I absolutely had to.
Drop him for Jalen Reagor? Yes.
Yep.
Would you drop him for Curtis Samuel?
Maybe.
I think I'd do it maybe 60% of the time. But and there's some leagues where I wouldn't get rid of Ruggs.
I wouldn't be doing it to stash Curtis Samuel. I'd only be doing that because I have to play Curtis Samuel or something.
And you like the upcoming match. Who do they even?
It's against Tampa. The Raiders have a good matchup this week. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe I wouldn't.
They're in the same tier on the sheet, so I don't think you ever go far out of your way to spend a lot of energy doing those kind of moves if they're that close on the sheet.
Robert Tonyan.
I'd have to look at his last target volume, but from what I can remember, I think he can be dropped. I mean, I'd look at these guys. These are good tight ends on the waiver wire this week.
I know. It's like, do you drop him for Austin Hooper?
Tanyan, one target, 5 yards, 62% week 9. Week 8 was 7 targets, 79 yards. I mean, he's decent. I don't know. I'd play the matchups. I'd look at the matchups, but if the matchups were similar, I think I like
Gesicki. He had 2 targets in week 7.
I like Gesicki, Grant, Goddard, Moore. I mean, yeah, unless I think the matchups are like polar opposites.
Could be tough. I think a dynasty is a definite hold, especially in tight end super premium. But like, you know, because like I own him in that format, and I wouldn't think about dropping him in that format.
Yeah.
But in redraft, I think you probably can. This is how about Ronald Jones? I don't think you can drop him.
Drop Ronald Jones. No, all it takes is a Leonard Fournette injury, and Ronald Jones is going to be back
Just takes the game not getting into a game script where they have to throw it.
Low upside play, but I mean, look, if you I have to play him this week, and I don't feel good about it, but it's like, you never know, man. He attached that offense. He just got to get in the end zone, and it can happen. So he's not a drop.
Malcolm Brown, the Mally Cat from Cibolo Steel.
I think if you need to drop him, you can.
Laviska Shenault, painful one to ask.
I mean, he's on the sheet, but he's low on the sheet. So there's a lot of guys higher, and he can be dropped if he needs to be.
K. Ellis one is asking if you can drop one guy. This is a good one. Nobody's asking about this. What about Hollywood Brown? Can you drop him? Mm-mm. Not yet. Mm-hmm. Who do you drop then? Hollywood Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, DJ Moore, or Mike Davis? Because that comes into my next question about these Dallas guys, CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup.
I'd like to – and probably Davis. I mean, I know we don't want to drop Davis.
Mike Davis? Week. No. I'm not dropping him, period.
Maybe CeeDee Lamb.
Then. What if Christian McCaffrey's out for like 2 more weeks? I mean, Mike Davis is an RB1.
Yeah, I get it. Maybe Lamb.
But not Hollywood? It's just not time yet?
I mean, Hollywood is at least – no. I mean, it's probably closer than it should be. Would drop Lamb.
Not Ayuk.
It could be Ayuk.
For shit quarterback stuff. Debo. I think it's Ayuk.
Nick Mullins back.
Ayuk. Yeah. That just took a circuitous tropical storm eight route to get to that one. Yeah. All right. Two more. Two guys that are kind of Golden Suns. One that Trash Man loves, one that we love. What about Darius Slayton?
I wouldn't drop him. But he's tough to play.
Future mayor of Los Angeles, Joshua Kelly.
I'd hold him until we know more about Justin Jackson.